So as we see in John 3:29, it tells us that John is the friend of the bridegroom, and really the bride was who was with Jesus. If we believe that Jesus called his church on the seashores of Galilee, that's really who he was talking about as being the bride of the bridegroom, which Jesus, again, being the groom, the church being the bride. Jesus called, John called Jesus the bridegroom and his church the bride, John 3:29. Now, John referred to himself as the friend of the bridegroom. We just read that, John 3:29. He referred to himself as being that friend. Jesus affirmed this statement when he said in Matthew 11:11, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus also said that John was more than a prophet in Matthew 11:9. According to Hebrew wedding customs, and actually, I encourage you to do so. You can Google the Hebrew wedding customs, and you can put it together with the Word of God, and you'll see how much it goes together with Christ coming to the earth, with the way that it's all set up through the Father, and he uses and to get the bride. And like I said, Google it, you'll see it. I should have brought it in here with me, but that's all right for point of time. But according to the Hebrew wedding custom, the father would send his most trusted servant and friend to select a bride for his son. John said he was that friend. Now, let's look back on a certain person and this wedding. Abraham sent his trusted servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. You can go and compare that, and you can see a lot of comparisons here with the way that God did things. God sent John the Baptist. He's the one that sent him, and he prepared that way for the bridegroom, as I think you'll see here in a moment. John heard Jesus teaching his bride and rejoiced greatly, saying his joy was fulfilled. John had completed the mission God had chosen him to do, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, Luke 1:17. Back up a few scriptures to Luke chapter 1, verse 17, and let's read that. Luke chapter 1, verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist. God sent him, prepared the way for Jesus to come and to call out his church, his bride. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus some questions. Let's go to Mark 2:18. So keep backing up a little bit. Go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and verse 18. And we'll read 18 through 20 in steps. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not. Now look at his answer here. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, Jesus said his disciples would not fast while he was with them. Him being the bridegroom, the disciples being the church. Jesus called his church the children of the bride chamber because it is a special place reserved for them. The bride chamber is a unit of rooms in the Father's house that the bride and groom will occupy after the wedding and accommodates them during the wedding celebration. That's in the Hebrew wedding custom that if you'll look up, like I said, you'll see this stuff. The Pharisees knew Jesus was referring to his church and his bride. Now, without question, Jesus had already entered into engagement with his church, his bride. Now, Christ loved his bride so much that he died for her. Let's go over to Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. There's a comparison. He's telling us to love our wives, but he gives that comparison. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, look at, if you'll back up to Acts 20:28 as well, it tells us basically the same thing. It says that the Lord died for and shed his blood for his bride. He said, verse 28 of chapter 20 in Acts, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, that church is a local visible church. That was the church of Ephesus, not to mention there were some other people there, probably from Galatia, maybe in all in those areas over there. They were seeing Paul off. Paul was leaving. But he said, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, a lot of people, like we've discussed, mix this in with some universal church. But I'm going to be upfront with you. I don't see a universal church. I just cannot see it. I've tried, but I just can't see it. I've even been in churches during my life that are universal, and I just can't find. I just can't find it. I can't see the universal church. I can see how the Lord points out the separation. I can see how the Lord points out the church. I just can't find the universal thing. Now, actually, you can go to 2 Corinthians 11:2, and even the way he states this to the church at Corinth, he tells them in verse 2, for I am jealous over you. Well, let's read verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. He said, well, this is what he says. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, people's minds have been corrupted by all of this universal teaching, and we just can't get it out of our head. It's just like, here, I'm going to use another example. We've been taught for years and years and years the federal government is in control. the federal government, all of my grandparents, other people's parents and grandparents that I know, the federal government is in control. Listen, I got to be up front with you. Who elected them and put them in office? We're in control. But they've told us this for so many years that it's buried into the minds of people that, whoa, we can't, you can't go against what they say. See, the same way that it's been, false teachers, they've come around for years, they've hammered these things into our minds, and it's just hard to realize the truth. It's just hard to realize what the truth is, and it's the simplicity of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, let's go on. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, said that they were free from the law so that they could marry Christ. In other words, they could be in the church. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Now, you got to remember who he was talking to. He wrote the book of Romans to the church at Rome. Wasn't to everybody out there, because listen, if they didn't come to church, they didn't know about this stuff. He wrote this, chapter 7, verse 4. Well, let's read verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. He's talking about the Ten Commandments and living by the law of Moses. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. That's what he was talking about over there with 2 Corinthians 11:2. He said, you guys are stepping outside the bounds here of marriage. You're in this church that is the bride of Christ, and you're going out of the bounds here. But it says, but if her husband be dead, she is from that law. She is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's talking about Jesus. So there it is. He's talking about the church. You don't have to worry about keeping up with the law of Moses anymore. You don't have to worry about keeping all of this mess they had that, listen, even their own people couldn't. And he says, and you're free to be in the church of Christ. You're free to be able to get saved through Jesus Christ, him only, nothing else added, and to serve him and have fruit in the church. Now, the church, his bride, must be without spot or blemish. If you go over to back to Ephesians, we're going to jump through some scriptures, so if you want to, you can write them down. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, he says, well, let's read verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, we got to go back to 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So really and truly, the church, as the bride, must be without spot or blemish. This is not saying that the members of a church are perfect, you know, in the sense of no sin. Listen, we're either saved sinners or we're lost sinners. However, with that, when me saying that, we do stand perfect in the will of God, both in teaching and in our practice. We're fulfilling the will of God. We're doing what the will of God is, because listen, the will of God is that all would be saved and become a part of a scriptural New Testament church. That is what it was all started out intended to be. And then, of course, it got carried away. Now, let's look at, he says, the bride made herself ready for the wedding by being faithful to all his commandments. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Now, this is where it gets a little controversial with certain people, but you just follow along and you see what the Lord said, and you study this yourself. But we're going to get deeper into these studies later. But the bride hath made herself ready. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, verse 8, she's dressed in white. Here, verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, so as we study, we see that it trust me, it goes into the saints. You know that when you get saved, we are washed and we're clean. And Revelation chapter 4, where the church is no longer there, the next picture in heaven, it has those around the 24 elders, and they're around the throne of God, and they're in white linen. That's referring to the church. Now, God showed John the future home of the bride. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the future home. Jesus told his church, while he was yet here, that he was going away to prepare a place. What did he tell them? John 14. Who was he talking to? He was talking to his church. He said, well, let's go read that. John chapter 14. John 14. And if I try to quote it to you, I'll mess it all up just sure as the world tonight. John chapter 14, he told them, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, you go back and read, and you see who he was speaking to. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, he told his church, and if you'll follow along in a Hebrew marriage, you'll find out that the bridegroom, he leaves, and he goes and prepares a place, just like Isaac. They went and got his wife, brought his wife to him. He had been preparing a place at his father's house for his wife. Same thing. In the Hebrew wedding, he's been preparing a place for his wife, the church, to come and live. Now, the home that Jesus prepared for his bride in the New Jerusalem is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10. He says here, verse 10, and he carried me away, that's the Apostle John, in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, that great city, he's prepared where in his father's house. The city had a great high wall surrounding it with 12 gates. And you can read this yourself for later studying. Under the walls, there's 12 foundations. The walls were of jasper. The city was of pure gold and of all manners of precious stones, a foundation. Each of the 12 gates was pearl, and the street was transparent gold. That's like, wow. God and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the glory of God is the light of the city. That's all in Revelation chapter 21. And the nations of the saved, though they do not live in the city, live in the light of it. Verse 24. He says in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Inside the city flows a river of life and a tree of life, which bears 12 kinds of fruit. The leaves of the trees are for the blessings of the nation, the healing of the nations. Notice that it is the bride who is dwelling in the city, and she is seen serving her king. Chapter 22 and verse 3 and 4, it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So the bride is the Lamb's wife. Chapter 21, verse 9, we can see that. Chapter 21, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talking with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride wears his name in her forehead. Revelation 3:12. We go back to the letters that were written. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. We've been studying there in verse 12. It says, him that overcome. Now he's speaking to the church of Philadelphia. He said, him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write unto him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. That's talking to people in a scriptural New Testament church. By the way, the church at Philadelphia had it together. They didn't have a problem. God had given them an open door, and this is what he's telling them. I think we need to take heed to this stuff. Study it out. Christ and his bride shall reign forever. Chapter 22, verse 5. Let's go over and read that. Chapter 22 of Revelation and verse 5. Chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, even today, the bride of Christ still gives the glory of the final kingdom age. Ephesians 3:21 says, to God be glory in the church. These are things that we need to really pray about, really study. There's a lot in these. We just hit the topical parts of it because of time. But as we get back into going to church and having some more discipleship classes, we'll dig a lot deeper in this. But nonetheless, listen, the church that the Lord Jesus built is very, very special, important, and he gave it the power to serve him on this earth, and we need to be doing so. That's all I have for tonight. Be sure to be watching the news, looking for our great governor, Sisolak, and see what he says about going back to church. I'm hearing rumors it could go on into May or go on all the way up to June. I really don't know. We haven't heard from him yet. But I do know in certain areas, Arkansas, Mississippi, they're saying the middle of May before they're willing to open churches back up, which I'm not going to go there tonight, but we need to be praying. I want to get back into church on May 3rd, and we'll see what happens. But we do need to be good stewards for the Lord and set the right examples. I will say that. And we don't want to stir trouble. We want to be good examples for the community around us. And so be paying attention to the news. If you hear that he's going to be on, please let me know. And if nothing else, we're going to, well, you guys can't really say much to me. But I'm glad everybody tuned in. God bless everybody. Hope you have a great week. Be praying for each other because in this time of separation, but nonetheless, we are coming together as a church. And so keep each other in the prayers. The prayer requests, there were several prayer requests went out today. Be sure to be continuing to pray for them. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity again to come to you. And even though it's on social media, but Lord, in our hearts and our spirits, we are together and we're still a church, whether we have a building that we're meeting in or whether we're meeting over social media, we are still, Lord, one of your scriptural New Testament church wagon wheel. And Lord, we ask you to bless us. Ask, Lord, that you would lay a hedge of protection about us. Ask you to lay your healing hands on our nation, Lord, and on our world. We thank you for it. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I will mention this. I have been studying, and I really think it's an important topic for us to start talking about, but we need to seriously in these times start looking at our Constitution a whole lot more, and especially the First Amendment. And so there's going to be some sermons coming up about that, and be praying for me as I study and look into it. And I thank everybody, and have a good evening, and God bless.